This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive. You know, we always try to tackle the most interesting stuff out there, and today's topic is no exception. We're diving deep into GLP-1 medications.
A great choice. GLP-1s are really having a moment right now.
Yeah, from what I've been reading, it seems like they're popping up everywhere. Weight loss, diabetes, even addiction treatment. I mean, is there anything these drugs can't do?
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. But yeah, the research is pretty exciting. There's definitely a lot of potential there.
Okay, fair enough. So you sent over some notes and articles on this topic, and honestly, my mind is blown.
Same here, and that's why we're doing a deep dive. Let's break it all down for everyone.
Perfect. So where do we even begin with this? There's so much to cover.
Well, how about we start with something that's been making headlines, a potential new weight loss drug?
Okay, yeah, that sounds like a good place to start. I saw that too. Something about a new pathway, not like the ones that current GLP-1s target.
Right. It's called the NK2R pathway, and it's also involved in appetite control, but in a slightly different way.
Interesting. So how does that work exactly? I mean, how's it different from the way current GLP-1 drugs work?
So current GLP-1 drugs basically mimic a hormone that tells your brain, hey, you're full, stop eating. They bind to receptors in the brain and reduce those hunger pangs.
It's like tricking your body into thinking it's already eaten.
Yeah, you could say that. But this new drug targeting the NK2R pathway seems to work in a more subtle way. It might be a gentler approach to appetite control.
And that's why they think it could avoid that nasty nausea side effect.
Exactly. That's one of the big hopes. Nausea is a major reason why some people stop taking GLP-1 meds, even if they're working.
Yeah, that makes sense. Who wants to feel sick all the time, even if they are losing weight?
Right. So if this new drug can achieve similar results without those side effects, it could be a game changer.
Absolutely. And from what I read, this NK2R pathway thing might even be good for more than just weight loss, right?
Yeah. Early research in animals suggests it could also improve insulin sensitivity, which is obviously huge for people with type 2 diabetes.
Okay. So potentially hitting two birds with one stone, weight loss and better blood sugar control.
Potentially, yeah. But we got to be cautious here. This is all still very early stage research. We've got promising results from animal studies, but...
But human trials are the real test.
Exactly. We need to see how it performs in people before we get too excited.
Fair enough, but definitely something to keep an eye on. It sounds really promising, though. Now, shifting gears a bit here. You know, one of the things that really surprised me was this connection between GLP-1s and politics. Mm-hmm. Specifically, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and his potential impact on the industry. What's the story there?
Well, Kennedy is a big advocate for preventative health and lifestyle changes, you know, diet, exercise, that sort of thing.
Right, focusing on the root causes of health problems rather than just treating the symptoms.
Exactly. And he's been pretty vocal about his concerns about the over-reliance on medication, and that includes GLP-1s, especially for things like obesity and diabetes.
So his stance is that we should be focusing more on prevention and less on medication as the first line of defense.
That's the gist of it, yeah.
I can see how that might ruffle some feathers in the pharmaceutical industry, especially with companies that have invested heavily in developing these drugs.
Oh, definitely. It's caused quite a stir. There's been talk about potential shifts in public health policies if he gains more influence, and some of the leading GLP-1 companies even saw a dip in their stock prices.
Wow, so the market is definitely paying attention.
For sure. It raises some interesting questions, though. You know, what role should the government play in shaping healthcare choices? Will we see a shift towards prioritizing lifestyle interventions, or will medications continue to be the go-to solution? It's a complex issue.
It really is. I mean, there's no easy answer, right? There's definitely a strong argument to be made for focusing on prevention. But at the same time, medications like GLP-1s can be incredibly helpful for managing these conditions.
Exactly. It's about finding that balance. How do we integrate these medications into a holistic approach to health that includes both lifestyle changes and medical interventions?
Right. It's not an either situation. It's about finding what works best for each individual. Now, speaking of different applications for GLP-1s, you sent over some research about their potential use in treating alcohol use disorder. That really caught my eye. Can you tell me more about that?
Absolutely. This was a really interesting study published in JAMA Psychiatry, and it found that GLP-1 medications might actually be very effective in treating alcohol use disorder, even better than some existing treatments like naltrexone.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. I would have never guessed that a drug primarily used for diabetes could have an impact on addiction. How did researchers even make that connection?
Well, researchers have known for a while now that GLP-1 receptors, you know, those things that the drugs bind to, are actually present in areas of the brain that are involved in reward and addiction.
Ah, I see. So it's not just about blood sugar and appetite. These receptors are playing a role in other brain processes as well.
Exactly. And that got them thinking, well, if GLP-1 medications can affect things like food cravings, maybe they can affect alcohol cravings too.
Makes sense. So how did they test this idea? Did they just give GLP-1 meds to people with alcohol use disorder and see what happened?
Well, not quite. They actually analyzed data from a huge study of over 228,000 patients with type 2 diabetes. They compared those who were prescribed GLP-1 medications to those who were prescribed other diabetes meds, including naltrexone, which, as we mentioned, is also used for alcohol use disorder.
Oh, so they were looking for patterns in this existing data to see if there was a connection.
Right. And what they found was pretty striking. The patients taking GLP-1 medications had a much lower risk of alcohol-related hospitalizations compared to those on other diabetes medications, even naltrexone.
So that suggests that GLP-1s might be even more effective than the current standard treatment for alcohol use disorder.
It seems that way, yeah. GLP-1s reduced hospitalizations by up to 22%, while naltrexone only showed a 14% reduction.
Wow, that's a significant difference. This could be a real game changer for people struggling with alcohol addiction, especially those who haven't had success with other treatments.
Absolutely. It's a very promising avenue for future research and could offer much needed hope for those seeking effective treatment.
Definitely a ray of hope. But before we get too deep into that, let's take a step back and talk about the global diabetes situation.
Good point. It's easy to get caught up in these individual applications of GLP-1s and forget about the bigger picture.
Right. And the bigger picture, from what I've been reading, is pretty alarming. You flagged some statistics from the World Health Organization that really jumped out at me. The number of diabetes cases worldwide has skyrocketed.
Yeah, it's pretty scary, actually. Diabetes cases have quadrupled since 1990. We're now talking about over 800 million adults living with this disease.
It's crazy to think about. What's driving this dramatic increase?
A lot of it boils down to lifestyle factors, unfortunately. Things like obesity, poor diet, lack of physical activity, all those things we struggle with in our modern world.
And ironically, those are the very issues that GLP-1 medications are designed to address.
Exactly. It's like this double-edged sword. We have these potentially life-changing medications that could help tackle this global health crisis, but at the same time, there are huge concerns about access and affordability.
So how do we make sure everyone who needs these treatments can get them, not just those who can afford it?
That's the million-dollar question. It's going to take a huge global effort. Governments, pharmaceutical companies, healthcare providers, all working together.
It's a massive challenge, but the potential benefits are so huge. We're talking about preventing millions of cases of diabetes and all the devastating complications that come with it.
It's a reminder that scientific breakthroughs are only part of the solution. We need to think about the bigger picture, about implementation, access, and making sure these innovations actually benefit everyone.
Couldn't agree more. Now, let's dive into some of the potential downsides. You mentioned something called Ozempic breasts. And honestly, I was like, what? Can you explain what that is?
Sure. It's not a direct side effect of the medication itself, but rather a consequence of the rapid weight loss it can cause. When the body sheds fat quickly, sometimes the skin doesn't have time to adjust.
I see. So it's more like a cosmetic issue that can happen with any kind of rapid weight loss.
Exactly. And it can happen in other areas too, but it seems to be particularly noticeable in the breasts.
Hmm. Well, I imagine that could be pretty distressing for some people, especially given all the pressure to look a certain way.
Absolutely. And it highlights the need for a more holistic approach to patient care. It's not just about the physical changes, it's about the emotional and psychological impacts as well.
Healthcare providers need to be ready to address these issues and support patients going through these transformations.
Right. And it's just one example of the potential unforeseen consequences that we need to consider as GLP-1 medications become more widespread. It really underscores the importance of ongoing research and open communication between doctors and patients.
It seems like with every breakthrough, there's a new layer of complexity to unravel.
That's science for you. We're constantly learning, adapting, and refining our understanding.
Well said. So what do you see on the horizon for GLP-1s? Where do you think this field is headed?
Honestly, I think we're just scratching the surface. The pace of research is incredible, and the potential applications seem almost limitless. Who knows what other surprising discoveries are just around the corner?
It's pretty exciting and a little daunting to think about. It feels like we're on the verge of a whole new era in medicine.
It's a fascinating time to be following this field, that's for sure.
Agreed. But before we get too carried away with all the possibilities, let's take a closer look at some of the specific concerns and challenges surrounding these medications.
Sounds like a plan. We need to stay grounded amidst all this excitement. You know, it's interesting to think about Kennedy's perspective. He's not totally against medication, but he's really pushing for that, like, you know, preventative approach to health, like really focusing on lifestyle changes.
Yeah, he talks a lot about how our modern lifestyle is kind of messed up, you know, processed foods, not moving enough, always stressed out.
Exactly. And he thinks that's a root cause of a lot of these chronic diseases. So it makes sense that he'd be a bit cautious about relying too heavily on medications.
Right. Like, he's not saying medications are bad, but he's saying maybe we should be focusing more on fixing the underlying problems instead of just masking the symptoms.
Right. And that's where you start to see potential conflict with the pharmaceutical industry. I mean, if everyone started living super healthy lifestyles, would they need as many medications?
Good point. It's kind of like their interests don't always align with what's best for public health.
Yeah, it's a tough situation. There's a lot of money involved in developing and selling these drugs, so it's not surprising that some companies might be resistant to this kind of shift in focus.
I wonder, though, couldn't this also lead to some really cool innovation? Like, what if instead of just focusing on drugs, we put more energy into developing things that help people live healthier lives?
Totally. There's so much potential there. Like, personalized nutrition guidance, fitness trackers that actually work, community programs that encourage healthy habits.
Yeah, it's about empowering people to take control of their own health instead of just waiting until something goes wrong and then relying on a pill to fix it.
Exactly. It's a totally different mindset. And I think it's one that's gaining traction,
yeah,
which is really exciting.
It's about time, right? I mean, we all know that eating well and moving our bodies is good for us, but it's not always easy to put that into practice.
Yeah, it takes effort and support. And that's where things like technology and community programs can really make a difference.
So it's not about rejecting medical advancements. It's about being smarter about how we use them and making sure they're part of a bigger picture of health and well-being.
Couldn't agree more. And it makes you think about all these different applications for GLP-1s, like the alcohol use disorder study.
Yeah, that one was really mind-blowing. Who would have thought that a diabetes drug could help people overcome addiction?
It's crazy, right? But it goes back to what we were just talking about. Those GLP-1 receptors aren't just in the pancreas, they're in the brain too. And they're involved in all sorts of complex processes, including reward and addiction.
So by targeting these receptors, we might be able to influence not just our physical health, but our mental and emotional health as well.
Exactly. It's like we're just starting to understand all the ways these drugs can impact the body and the brain. And who knows what other unexpected connections we might find in the future.
It's kind of exciting and scary at the same time, right? Like, we're opening up this whole new world of possibilities.
Definitely. And it's important to be cautious and do our research, but the potential for positive change is huge.
Totally. Now, speaking of the bigger picture, let's circle back to that global diabetes crisis.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one. And GLP-1s have a potentially huge role to play in addressing it.
I mean, on the one hand, these medications are incredibly effective at managing type 2 diabetes. They can even slow down or reverse the progression of the disease.
Right, which is amazing. But on the other hand, we have to acknowledge the reality of global health inequalities. Millions of people simply don't have access to basic health care, let alone these expensive new drugs.
It's a classic case of the haves and the have-nots. And it raises some really tough questions about fairness and access.
Yeah, how do we make sure these life-saving treatments reach everyone who needs them, not just those who can afford them?
It's a massive challenge. It's not just about the cost of the drugs themselves. It's about building healthcare infrastructure, mm-hmm. training healthcare providers, and making sure people have access to the information and support they need.
It's a multifaceted problem, and it's going to take a global effort to solve it.
Absolutely. But the potential payoff is enormous. We're talking about potentially preventing millions of cases of diabetes and all the suffering that comes with it.
It's a reminder that scientific breakthroughs are only part of the story. The real work is in translating those discoveries into real-world solutions. That's where things get complicated.
Couldn't agree more. And speaking of complicated, let's go back to those unforeseen consequences we talked about earlier, like the Ozempic breasts phenomenon.
Right. That's a perfect example of how, even with the most promising medical advancements, there can be unexpected side effects.
Yeah, it's a bit of a wake-up call.
Yeah.
It reminds us that we need to be really careful and do our due diligence when it comes to these new medications.
Absolutely. We need to think about the long-term effects and the potential downsides, even when the benefits seem really clear.
And it's not just about physical side effects either. We need to consider the psychological and societal impacts as well.
Exactly. Like, how will these drugs affect our perceptions of body image and health? Could they exacerbate the pressure to be thin?
That's a really good question. We already live in a society that's obsessed with appearances. And these drugs could potentially amplify that.
It's something we need to be very mindful of. We need to promote a more holistic and nuanced understanding of health and well-being.
Totally. It's not just about how we look. It's about how we feel, mentally, emotionally, and socially.
Right. And it's about making sure these medications are used responsibly and ethically, not as quick fixes or shortcuts, but as tools to support people in achieving their health goals in a sustainable way.
I think that's a really crucial point. It's not about demonizing these medications, but about using them wisely and thoughtfully.
Exactly. It's about finding that balance between embracing innovation and being aware of the potential risks.
Now, one area of GLP-1 research that I find particularly fascinating is their potential to treat neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's.
Oh, yeah. That's a really hot topic right now. And for good reason. The research is suggesting that GLP-1s might actually have a protective effect on brain cells.
Yeah, it's pretty mind-blowing. The idea that we could potentially slow down or even reverse the progression of these diseases is incredible.
I know. And what's really cool is that GLP-1s seem to be working on multiple fronts. They reduce inflammation, protect neurons from damage, and even stimulate the growth of new brain cells.
So it's like they're attacking these diseases from all angles, which is really exciting because for so long we've only been able to manage the symptoms, not actually modify the course of the disease itself.
Exactly. And while it's still early days, the initial results are very promising.
It's giving a lot of hope to families who have been affected by these devastating diseases. And it's a reminder that sometimes the most groundbreaking discoveries come from the most unexpected places.
Totally. And speaking of unexpected discoveries, have you heard about the research on GLP-1s and lifespan?
Oh, yeah, that one blew my mind. The idea that we could potentially slow down or even reverse aging is like something out of science fiction.
I know, it sounds crazy. But some studies are suggesting that GLP-1s might actually have a positive impact on longevity.
It's amazing to think that we might be on the verge of cracking the code of aging. It's like a dream come true.
Well, let's not get too carried away just yet. But it's definitely an area worth paying attention to. What's interesting is that GLP-1s seem to target many of the hallmarks of aging. You know, those processes that contribute to cellular decline and age-related diseases?
So it's not just about living longer. It's about living healthier for longer. Extending those years where we're feeling our best and able to fully enjoy life.
Exactly. It's about quality of life, not just quantity.
Totally.
Yeah.
But of course, with any potential breakthrough, especially one as profound as extending lifespan, there are ethical considerations to take into account.
Oh, absolutely. We need to be having serious conversations about this. Like, what are the potential societal impacts of significantly longer lifespans? How do we ensure equitable access to these treatments? What are the unintended consequences?
These are huge questions, and they don't have easy answers. It's a whole new frontier, not just for science, but for humanity as a whole.
It's exciting and a little bit terrifying all at the same time.
That's a perfect way to put it. We're entering uncharted territory. And it's crucial that we proceed with caution, with open minds, and with a willingness to engage in these tough conversations.
Couldn't agree more. It's a lot to think about, but that's what makes this field so fascinating.
So as we delve deeper into this research, what are some of the specific ethical challenges you see arising?
Yeah, it really is like opening Pandora's box, isn't it? We could be on the verge of something incredible, but there's so many things to consider.
Exactly, and one of the biggest concerns for me is that this could make existing inequalities even worse.
How so?
Well, imagine a world where only rich people can afford treatments that let them live way longer.
Oh, wow, yeah. It'd be like a whole new level of division in society, wouldn't it? The haves and the have-nots, but with even higher stakes.
Exactly. Longer lifespans could become the ultimate luxury.
It's almost like a dystopian sci-fi plot, isn't it? And that's why those conversations about equal access are so important. We have to start thinking about these things now before it's too late.
Absolutely. We need to be proactive, not reactive. And it's not just about access either. We have to consider the impact on society as a whole. Like, what happens to retirement or healthcare systems? Our entire concept of a human lifespan would be turned upside down.
Right. Our world is built around the idea that people live for a certain amount of time. If we suddenly change that, it would have ripple effects on everything.
Exactly. And then there's the philosophical stuff to think about. What does it even mean to be human if we can live for centuries?
Wow, yeah. Those are some deep questions.
Right. It makes you question everything. Like, how does it change our relationship with death? Or the meaning of life?
It's almost too much to wrap your head around.
I know. But it's also super exciting. It's like we're standing on the edge of a whole new era for humanity.
Agreed. Exhilarating and terrifying all at once.
Exactly. And that's why it's crucial that we proceed with caution. We need to have open minds, be willing to have those difficult conversations, and really think about the potential consequences of our actions.
Absolutely. These advancements aren't just about science. They're about what it means to be human in a world where almost anything seems possible.
Well said.
Well, this has been quite the deep dive. From weight loss to addiction, to the potential for longer lifespans, we've covered a lot of ground today.
We have, and I think it's clear that this field is evolving at lightning speed. GLP-1s are full of surprises, and we're only just beginning to understand their full potential.
So true. Before we wrap up, though, I'm curious. What future developments surrounding GLP-1 medications are you most excited about, and what concerns you the most?
For me, the most exciting possibility is definitely the potential to treat neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. Imagine if we could actually prevent or reverse those conditions. It would be a game changer for so many people.
I agree. That research is incredible. And what about concerns? What keeps you up at night when you think about the future of GLP-1s?
Honestly, it's the potential for misuse and how that could worsen inequality. We've already talked about the pressure to conform to certain beauty standards. I worry that these medications could become just another way for the privileged to enhance their lives while others are left behind.
It's a valid concern. We need to be very mindful of these issues and work towards a future where these advancements benefit everyone, not just a select few.
Exactly. Ultimately, it comes down to using these medications responsibly and ethically. They are incredibly powerful tools, but it's up to us to wield them wisely.
So well said. And on that note, we'll wrap up our deep dive into the fascinating and complex world of GLP-1 medications. We've explored the science, the potential, and the challenges, and it's clear that this field is one to watch closely.
Absolutely. And to our listeners, we encourage you to keep exploring this topic. Do your own research, ask questions, and stay informed. After all, the future of healthcare is in our hands. It's up to all of us to shape it in a way that benefits everyone.
What a great message to end on. Thank you so much for joining us on this journey. And until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep asking questions.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.